Hi, I'm your host, Alexander James, and this is Live Loved, a podcast where I'm teaching gay men how to find real love without having to have the perfect body, needing to fake confidence, or resorting to playing mind games while dating. You can manifest your soulmate, and it's so much easier than you can imagine. So keep listening to find out how. Hello. It's good to be back. So you may or may not have noticed, but the last time I recorded an episode was almost exactly 1 year ago. So needless to say, it's good to be back. A lot has changed, and I'm here with an amazing amount of content and new life experience to share with you. And I'm just so grateful that you're here on this journey with me, so committed to creating the love that you want in your life. I really do think that there's not anything more important than love. And, you know, if we're not trying to figure that out, then what the fuck are we trying to do here? You know, I don't think life is about buying designer jeans and driving nice cars. I think it's about figuring this love thing out. So shout out to everybody who's listening today, doing the work, doing their deep shadow processing in it, wherever you are. Maybe you're feeling super close, maybe you're feeling hopeless. Keep going. It gets easier. You will figure it out. Anybody can have love. Anybody can experience a powerful, deep, transformative, healing, soul-level relationship. And yes, that includes you. So stay with me. I'm going to lead you through some amazing ideas and topics that can help you get closer to experiencing the love that you want in your life and do what we do every day here, which is teach you how to live loved. Alrighty, let's hop in. So I am showing up today to do my podcast in like another state. So for the past 2 weeks, I've been running some market research. And one of the things I've been doing is offering the people who participate a soulmate alchemization session. And it's just been like overwhelmingly, I think everyone involved has been kind of like blown away, myself included. Which is one of the cool parts of my job is like, I show up and I know what I bring, but then when I have clients who show up with such incredible awareness, such brilliance, such tender hearts, such incredible visions of love, what we get to create together in these sessions, like, it brings both of us to tears. It's really powerful. And what we've been working on is step one of my 5-step process for becoming the conscious creator of your relationships and alchemizing your soulmate into your life. And step number one is releasing your exes. And when I talk about releasing exes, I'm not necessarily talking about cutting them out of your life or getting rid of the actual person or any of their memorabilia or memories that you might have about them. What I'm actually pointing to or looking at as we're doing this work with these people is, what is the piece of yourself that got into a dynamic with a piece of them that created the unfulfilling experience? It takes two to tango, right? So any unfulfilling dynamic that we experienced, we were also a part of, and there was some piece of us that either called and attracted in that person, or when they met that person, recreated that dynamic. And oftentimes it's from our childhood or it's from a wound from a previous relationship. And so here's why this is so important in working in relationships, is because if we are subconsciously still identifying with those pieces of ourselves that created pain for us in our relationships, then what happens is we begin to project those wounds and that pain onto the future. And when we project pain into the future, right, this fear has our hearts feel defended. When we go out to date and to meet people, we go out with defended hearts because we continue to have this subconscious belief that love hurts. And when we believe that love hurts, that it's a primary quality of love, Then when we go out to look for love, we also subconsciously look for pain. So part of the work that I'm doing in these optimization sessions is releasing that subconscious belief, because it's just like, if you believe the apples are red, you're gonna go to the grocery store and you're gonna look for red apples and you're gonna find the red apples and you're gonna be like, oh, I know this is an apple because it's a red apple. But if you don't want red apples, you want green apples, but you believe that all apples are red, then you're gonna go to the grocery store and you're gonna skip over all the green apples, all the yellow apples, all of those pink lady that are speckled, those are my favorites, the pink lady ones, that are like yellow and red. And so it isn't until you release this subconscious belief that in many ways is wired not only into our neurology, but also into our nervous system. And so that's why when people, sometimes they'll like just get that kick in the gut and they'll be so attracted to somebody and they'll just be head over heels for someone who's so wrong for them. That's that subconscious belief pattern of, oh, love hurts, attracting you to someone that on a conscious level, you're not even aware is gonna hurt you, but there's some piece of it that feels like some familiar, unfulfilling pattern that your brain is drawn back into. I believe on a spiritual level, it's because that thing wants to be healed, right? So you keep getting called into those relationships so that you can see it and then have the opportunity to heal it. But the work that I'm doing with people is we're healing it so that they don't have to recreate those relationships and heal it in relationship. We're doing it now so that the next person that they get into relationship with can be amazing and creative and committed and all of the things that they want to experience in love, super present, super supportive, super emotionally available. So I love doing this releasing your ex's work because it's the most powerful, and it's the step that after you do step one of my 5-step process, once you release that belief in that pattern and you override it in both your nervous system and your somatic body systems and also your neurobiology, like the people you start being attracted to change. It no longer becomes this fearful battle of like, oh, should I like him, or oh, I know he's no good for me, right? And going back and forth and then just in the end succumbing to the desire, you know, and the whims. It requires no willpower once you've done this work, because your body is primed and your neurobiology is primed and knows what the love you're looking for feels like. And so when you're out in the wild meeting people, you just instantly, those are the people that your radar starts picking up, because you no longer have those wounds that need to be healed. So you can just get about the business of being loved and enjoying love and creating a love that is just so much more powerful than anything you've experienced before. So that's what I've been doing this week. And it's been, I mean, fucking incredible. Like, and I've been getting emails from people. One person who's already met someone who is totally opposite of their pattern, and they were so safe, and this person had been in a lot of emotionally unavailable relationships, and they met this person who made them feel so safe, and because of the work that we had done, they recognized that feeling and led into it and leaned into it, and they ended up having like this 7-hour conversation with this new person, just vibing and sharing emotionally and vulnerably and creating something beautiful. So I've been getting emails like that a week. So it's just so beautiful to see the hope and the new possibility that comes when you actually understand what's going on behind the scenes of your neurobiology and how to rewire things in a way that helps you truly get what you actually want. And so on that topic, I have a little something for you today. It is a concept that I call the shame bubble. And anybody who wants to call in soul level love, anybody who's in the process of consciously manifesting and attracting their next soulmate, has to understand the shame bubble, because it is the foundational work of how soulmate creation and conscious love is created. So not only is it the foundational work, but it also determines when and where you meet your soulmate. So let's jump in. This is gonna be very conceptual. And so those of you who really like a lot of my thought work that I've offered before are gonna love this. and the rest of you are going to get a lot out of it too, but just bear with the rest of us brainiacs who want to understand this on an intellectual level. So here is the foundational idea of this, of the shame bubble, is anytime you think that there's something wrong with you, you are repelling love away from you. And here's what I mean. When you think the thought, there's something wrong with me, what you experience is shame. And shame makes us hide, shame makes us isolate, and shame makes us kind of try to bend ourselves into different shapes or compensate for the pieces of ourselves that we feel aren't good enough. It kind of warps us into like a crumpled version of ourselves that we weren't meant to be. And so what happens is the more shame we feel, right, the more we think that there are things wrong with us, the higher the walls we build around our hearts. And in childhood, we created these walls to protect the parts of ourselves that we were told weren't lovable. But in adulthood, these walls hold our hearts imprisoned and lonely. They make it impossible for us to create the connection we crave because we're so busy hiding that we can't be found. It makes it impossible for our soulmates to find us. When we stop showing up as us, what is seeking us can't find us. But here's the good news, right? If shame is created by our thoughts, it can also be healed with our thoughts. And if our shame thoughts of there's something wrong with me are repelling love away from us, then choosing a different set of thoughts can attract love and bring love closer to us. And so this is why I wanted to share with you how I teach this concept to my clients, because so many of us have unexamined shame that is repelling the love that we want. And when I talk about shame, especially for gay men, a lot of us are like, yeah, I came out of the closet, I go to Pride Parade, whatever, my great-grandma knows I'm gay, I have no shame. And for a long time, that's also how I related to the idea of shame, is like, well, I'm out, I don't have any shame. But I want to reframe shame as something as small as that negative thing that you say to yourself when you look in the mirror, right? Anytime you criticize, ugh, I wish my waist looked different, or I wish my nose was different, or I wish I like had this feature, that feature, what you're really saying is there's something wrong with me, right? And we do this in so many different areas of our life. We do this in our careers, when we compare ourselves and think that we aren't as far along as we should be. We do this in our creative practices, when we are trying to experience a new piece of ourselves, but we are getting caught up in doing it right, not allowing ourselves to play. We have all of these constant thoughts, especially in gay culture, that has indoctrinated us with, this is how you have to look, this is where you have to party, this is the lifestyle you have to have, this is where you have to vacation, you have to have like 30 best friends, you need to have all of these things, this apartment in this neighborhood, right? And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. We've been so indoctrinated, not just by straight culture, right? Because we get one layer of shame, like, oh, well, your voice isn't deep enough, or you're not masculine enough, or, you know, you don't like all the things that other boys like, there's something wrong with me. Then that gets compounded by all of these shoulds that we receive from the gay community. And so what ends up happening is a lot of gay men have a lot of unexamined shame underneath the hood that we just don't want to look at. We don't want to even acknowledges there, because a lot of us also have shame about our shame. We're like, ugh, that old thing, like, oh my god, I don't want to feel like I'm coming out of the closet again, I don't want to feel like I'm a teenager, right? Like, those were really painful years coming to terms with our sexuality for many of us. And so going back to that place and re-examining our shame is like, I would rather get like a triple root canal. So, but it's important, and here's why it's important, is this unexamined shame is repelling the love that we want. So when we have lots of thoughts about what's wrong with us, it makes us feel ashamed and we hide. But the side effect of this process is that we begin to feel unworthy. And we see this a lot in depression, where shame thoughts become so rampant that at some point we begin to struggle to feel worthy to even feel to be alive. Now, that's an extreme case, but you can see how that building of unworthiness isolates us more and more in our depression, makes us want to hide, makes us want to give up, makes us want to not show up, makes us want to not reveal ourselves or be vulnerable because we feel like we are so unworthy, we are so unlovable. So that's an extreme case, but for most of us, unworthiness manifests in minuscule ways. So maybe fretting about what we should wear before a hot date, or when we feel a lump in our throat, when it comes time to ask for a job promotion that we know we deserve in the back of our head, or sidestepping a compliment by putting ourselves down when somebody is actually trying to build us up. So what's important to note about all of these examples and unworthiness as a concept in general is that we only feel unworthy when we receive something we don't feel worthy of. So it isn't until we come into contact with something that we don't feel worthy of that we begin to feel the negative emotions of unworthiness. So the example I like to give, right, is that you don't wake up in the morning feeling unworthy of going on a date with Brad Pitt. But if his assistant were to call you and be like, hey, guess what? Brad Pitt wants to take you on a date tonight at 8 p.m. sharp. Suddenly, you'd go into this unworthiness spiral of like, oh my God, am I good looking enough? Oh my God, like what? I don't have anything to wear. He's used to dating people who are super rich celebrities and they wear beautiful clothes. Am I gonna say something stupid? Is he gonna take me to a 5-star restaurant and I'm not gonna know how to use the like 8 spoons that are in the place setting in front of me? Your mind would start to spin and you'd be experiencing your unworthiness of having this thing. And let's just say that like you're a huge Brad Pitt fan, right? This is kind of the paradoxical point, is you get the thing you want, but you feel so unworthy of it that instead of being able to go out and enjoy your date with Brad Pitt, you're so nervous and you're so anxious the whole time that it's actually a deeply unpleasant feeling. Somebody is actually accepting you and inviting you in, and you're turning that experience into an experience of self-rejection. That is what this unexamined shame that creates this subconscious unworthiness does in our lives, right? And it sucks because it's a form of deep emotional self-sabotage. So wherever that dark unworthiness tells us that we don't deserve to enjoy having the things we want, and where we thought we would find joy, we're actually met with deep emotional pain. And here's one thing that we know about the brain is that the brain hates pain. And so in order to avoid pain, if we feel unworthy of something, our brain will resist and subconsciously sabotage us getting the thing that we want at all costs. And so what ends up happening is we end up finding many ways, big and small, to self-sabotage. So we procrastinate, we don't show up, or we show up late, or our brain produces so much doubt or convinces ourselves that we have to fix ourselves so much before we can have the relationship that we want. The brain will do pretty much anything to keep from coming into contact with its own feelings of unworthiness. And when those feelings of unworthiness are contained within having the thing that you want, that means your brain is actively working against you to try and keep you from having the thing you want, because the shame is going to make it painful. And so this is going to make you feel overwhelmed, so overwhelmed that you give up and burn out. And this is like only 1/10 of the arsenal of self-sabotage tricks that the human mind will do to avoid the pain of having something it feels unworthy of. But I feel like this is so important to mention because so many people are working towards a goal or a relationship or a promotion or anything that they want in life, even like the body that they want, right? But if they don't feel worthy of having that, then you're gonna have a very difficult time getting to the place where you have that thing. And even if you do, you're gonna be in pain. You're gonna be in anxiety. You're not gonna be able to enjoy it because you're gonna be so worried about losing it the entire time. And today, more than ever, our brains are getting that message, right? Our brains are being programmed 24/7 nonstop by mass media into the idea that we're not worthy of love unless we're wearing Lucky Brand jeans and have gotten $40,000 worth of plastic surgery. So it's very easy for us to pick up on the social cues of what we need to be deemed worthy of love, not measure up to them, and then continually self-sabotage ourselves from having love so we don't have to feel the pain of our own unworthiness. This is so mind-blowingly powerful when you truly understand this concept that there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. And that is not why you don't have the thing you want. It's simply that you think there's something wrong with you. And that creates shame and unworthiness. And that makes having the things you want painful. So the way I like to explain this to my clients is, I don't know if you know Magneto from the X-Men, but he's the one with the like magnetic powers and he has like force field abilities and stuff. And so like you, as you are always attracting in all good things. Because that is who and what you are. You're always attracting in the level of abundance you want. You're always attracting in the money you want. You're always attracting in amazing friends and amazing experiences and amazing loving people and experiences. But you have this force field around you that is directly proportionate to the amount of shame that you have that is keeping those things out. It's keeping them out of reach. So you might even be able to see them, but you just can never grasp them because this shame is creating this distance between you and that thing through all of these subconscious processes. And in the event that one of those things maybe gets through your force field and gets into your hands, it's gonna be like a hot potato. You're gonna have that hot date, but you're gonna be so anxious the entire time that it's gonna be so painful that you're just gonna wanna get rid of it. Either you're gonna cling super tightly to that person or you're gonna totally close off and not let them see who you are because you're afraid of what they're gonna find, right? You're afraid that they'll see your unworthiness and your shame. And so when we're stuck in these cycles and we're trying to fix anything other than the shame that we have in our lives that's keeping us from having the good things that we want in our lives, we just end up creating more shame because then we're like, oh my God, but I've tried the diets and I've tried working out and I've tried all of these other things. Like, what's wrong with me? I just can't seem to like create a body that I feel great in, right? I just can't seem to show up. When in reality, that's just your subconscious mind trying to keep you from experiencing the pain of having something that you feel unworthy of. So the more you think is wrong with you, the further away the things you want get from you. Now, I can't tell you how revolutionary this would have been for me to know earlier in my life, because I spent my entire 20s detailing every single flaw that I had in detail, thinking that if I could fix what was wrong with me, then I would find love. But the more that I thought this is wrong with me, the further I was actually pushing love away from me. All of the self-development work that I was trying to do was coming from this underlying belief that something was wrong and that I needed to be fixed. And so the more work I did, the further I was pushing love away. And that is the real reason I couldn't create a fulfilling relationship that lasted more than 8 weeks for most of my life. No matter how much I worked out, no matter how many self-help books I read, no matter how much success I even created in my career, every single action I was taking was predicated on the belief that there was something wrong with me and I was trying to fix it. And so my shame was just getting multiplied and burrowing deeper and deeper into my subconscious psyche with every action I took. Every time I went to the gym, I was doing it from a place of fixing my body. And so that action became a strengthening of the belief that I'm unworthy of love. Same for the self-help books, same for how much I was working on my career. And here's the truth is there was nothing wrong with me except that I kept thinking that there was something wrong with me. The thing that was pushing love away from me was not my weight or how feminine I am or that I have this like deep, sensitive, emotional side. It was that I believed all of those things made me less worthy of love. And so every time a sweet, charming, beautiful man would come into my life, I would be so riddled with anxiety trying to impress him, trying to show him all of the beautiful things about me, really trying to woo him and sweep him off his feet, or so walled up trying to hide all my negative bits that I would sabotage our chance to actually connect as just normal human people. And the relationship would never grow because it didn't have that deep foundation of intimacy and vulnerability that I was wanting to create. And so what happened instead is most of the time I was getting with guys that I felt worthy of, who would turn out to be players and users and spotty and distant and emotionally unavailable. And they were playing out their unworthiness in the relationship as well, right? When you think of a player, it's somebody who truly doesn't believe deep down that they deserve love just for who they are, or that who they are is lovable. So they play this game and they try to manipulate people into loving them, because deep down inside, they don't feel that who they are will be loved or accepted. And so this is the second thing about unworthiness, is you're always going to be attracting in people who are at the same level of worthiness as you are. And so the more work you do to affirm your own worthiness, and the more you release that shame, the higher quality people you're going to be calling in, the more worthy of love they're going to be, the more open and available, the more powerful listeners, the more centered in themselves they're going to be, because they feel worthy of love, so they don't fear rejection as deeply. They're not hiding as deeply. And so this is the good news, is that it's not hopeless. You can reverse this cycle. It was your thoughts that were repelling love from you, and that means that there are thoughts that you can think and use that can attract love towards you. And I want to leave you today with a very simple practice that you can do to begin releasing this unexamined or subconscious shame, begin stepping more powerfully into your worthiness, and begin starting to see and experience your relationships shift around you. So here's what I have for you today. You're just gonna do one thing. I want you to take the word should out of your vocabulary forever. Because should is one of the roots of all shame. Should suggests that there's a way something ought to be, and that if it isn't that way, that something is wrong with that thing. So without should in your vocabulary, it's literally impossible to think, I should be more handsome. There's something wrong with me if I'm not. Should is one of the primary linguistic building blocks of shame. So when you can't think my body should look like that Instagram influencers, then you can't think that there's something wrong with you. And if you can't think there's something wrong with you, you can't experience shame, and you can't have that shame compound into unworthiness. I could exercise has very different energy than I should lose weight, right? Erasing that word should from your vocabulary rewires your brain to stop judging you as unworthy of love. And once you do that, the rest kind of happens naturally. There's really not a lot else you have to do. Really, the foundation and the basis of all the work that I work with is going and getting things at the subconscious level, what's stored in your body somatically, what's stored in your mind, like your love blueprint that's up there creating and forming all the relationships you have. Because if you change that, everything else that flows from that is also going to change. That's why I believe this work is so powerful, and that's why I believe this work can change the world. So that's what I have for you today. I want to end on this note. I want to give everyone who's listening permission to believe that no matter how much you think that there's something wrong with you, no matter how much you think that that thing is unlovable or unacceptable, there isn't. The belief that you are worthy of love is not going to get dropped off in your lap by a stork. What it is it's a decision. You have to decide to believe that you're worthy of love. You get to decide that you're worthy of love. You get to decide that there's nothing wrong with you. You can right now in this moment decide that you deserve to be with your soulmate without dieting, without earning more money, without doing more deep self-help work. You get to decide that the love that you want is available to you, and that you are worthy and deserving of it right now, exactly as you are. Because if you can choose to believe that you're unworthy, you can also choose to believe that you are worthy. You can commit to believing that. And that is your work as somebody who is on the journey to create a soulmate relationship, is to commit to believing in your own worthiness, no matter what you do, no matter how many times you muck up, no matter how much you can't stand certain aspects of yourself, is to always come back to that commitment that no matter what you do, you're still worthy of love. You still deserve the love that you're seeking in your heart. Whenever you feel that doubt creeping in, you just choose it to see as an opportunity to recommit to that belief. You are worthy of the love that you are seeking. All right, that's what I have for you today, my friends. If you like this, click 5 stars below. And if it helped you, let me know in the podcast comments, because I do read them and they do mean a lot to me. And this podcast is new, and I want as many people as possible to have access to these technologies that I've discovered, because I want to live in a world full of gay men who are not struggling with unworthiness, who are not struggling with shame, who are not self-sabotaging in relationships. Honestly, a little selfishly, because that makes it easier for me to create a soulmate relationship and to create deep and powerful friendships. But also what that does for us as a community and the empowerment that that gives us when we're no longer seeking love and validation in each other, but we can find it in ourselves and show up ready to love and extend that to other people. Not only do we transform our communities, but our communities end up transforming the world. And I really do believe that is the deeper purpose of the work that we're here to do on this planet. So feel free to share, pass this along to somebody who has been struggling in difficult relationships or keeps showing up in the same relationship over and over and over again, refusing to accept something better in their life. Give them this podcast. Give them the gift of allowing to create a different experience for themselves, and give them the gift of knowing what the real problem is and being able to solve that problem instead of spinning around in circles trying to lose weight or become more attractive or be smarter or learn a second language or whatever else they think is going to impress the people around them. And on that note, I will see you all in the next episode. Bye. Hi. I'm your host, Alexander James, and this is Live Loved, a podcast where I show gay men how to find real love without looking perfect, faking confidence, or playing mind games. You can manifest your soulmate, and it's so much easier than you think it is. Keep listening to find out how. Hi, I'm Alexander James, and this is Live Loved, a podcast where I show gay men how to find real love without looking perfect, faking confidence, or playing mind games. You can manifest your soulmate, and it's so much easier than you think it is. So keep listening to find out how. If this podcast is twirling your world, and you'd like to use Thoughtwork to transform your love life with me as your coach, you have to come check out the program I created for you. Deeper is a transformational journey where you and I work one-on-one to rewire your brain and uplevel your love life faster than you ever thought possible. If dating, relating, and trying to find love has left you feeling alone and hurt, Deeper is the program to give you the most advanced coaching tools to heal your past and create the mind-blowing relationship that your heart is yearning for. To check out more about it, visit www.alexanderjames.space and apply to work with me. It's my favorite program I've ever offered, and it will change your life. I guarantee it. So head on over to alexanderjames.space to see how the work I've spent the last decade perfecting can bring joy back into dating and connect you with the man or the men that you were made for. I can't wait to see you there.